Right hotspot's got the hippest crew.
Cleveland.
Where all the real gone daddies move.
Cleveland.
Dig that sweet Cuyahoga glow.
It smells so good.
Cleveland.
Where the jet set swing with heifer cats. Shop at Higbee's, then we'll hit the flats.
Excuse me, are you a model?
No.
Oh, you are so skinny. You really should eat something.
I say Cleveland, hello.
TBTM.
Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is?
It's Friday. Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend.
The DJs were hot, the bodies were hot, and we had a great time.
We know that that's the original one, but then they told us they had a duplicate. So if they do try to put a duplicate up, you best believe we're gonna show up and say,
we have the right one.
That's not the right, that's not the original.
Poop diddy whoop scoop. Poop.
Listen, please, please, please. If anybody doesn't know the difference between a valance and a jabot, I really need you to leave.
Rudy, you know the difference between those two things? Okay, don't lie to me, because seriously, I need you here for this. Okay, you can stay. Hi, everybody. You can stay, too, for a Friday afternoon edition of TBTL. This right here is the show that just might be too beautiful to live.
Who knew the world was capable of such oxymoronic, paradoxical juxtapositions?
My name is Luke Burbank. Coming to you from the Burbank Springs Broadcast Center, perched atop Alabama Hill, in Bellingham, Washington, the Bay City. I'll have my Cobro along in just a moment.
Everything about them just makes me nervous.
This is episode 2732 in a collector's series. Rudy is...
I'll say, what's up, dog?
Rudy and I just got back from a long exercise sesh. Walked all around the Alabama Hill neighborhood. Had a nice time. We're exercised, we're refreshed, we're ready to do this. I'm feeling good, by the way. It took me until Friday, but I'm finally feeling awake in time to do the show. So that will be different than the previous four episodes we've released this week. Welcome to episode 2732 in a collector series.
Let the fun begin.
And we've got invertebrates in the news on this Friday. What do you think happened when they gave octopuses, or I guess that might be octopi, when they gave a couple of octopi some Molly, like the drug Molly that makes people all want to dance the night away at Burning Man? The octopuses were more likely to want to hug other octopi.
Aww.
And speaking of invertebrates in the news... A woman who owns a lobster facility, I guess you could say, in the Northeast, says that she is going to get her lobsters high because she says they will be less sad about the fact that they are going to become dinner.
I feel warm and I'm levitating.
What the F? So we'll tell you what's going on with that, too. Plus, it's Friday, so we got some music for your weekend. And we have this guy... He is a Cuyahoga clam. He's the longest-running Cobro of the program, known for his drawings of tall ships, their grace, and their splendor. Now, I had this sound effect ready to go just in case his football game didn't go well last night.
Please don't be mean to Cleveland.
But I don't have to play that sound effect today because, in fact...
Cleveland! This is for you!
He had a great night of football watching, and I'm sure he's looking forward to a fun, fruitful weekend. He's Andrew Walsh, and he joins us now from the Roosevelt neighborhood of Seattle, Washington. Hello, my dude.
Dude, I was taping the game. Did Cleveland win? Are you not playing along with this?
No, what happened was I was trying to take a bite of my healthy choice microwave broccoli and chicken. I just did roughly 4 minutes and 20 seconds of heavy lifting. That's not true. Like 2 minutes of that was listening to the intro package. I just did about 2 minutes of heavy lifting of the being the Gita with the Hita, a regular Jerry Blavitt here, just burning the microphone up and down on this blowtorch known as TBTL. And then I hand it off to you. And then your job is to talk for, I don't know, 10 seconds so I can eat my healthy choice broccoli and chicken And you throw it right back to me.
I'm pretty sure, honestly, we do the same thing every day. I mean, if you need me to start doing soliloquies at the beginning of the show, I'm happy to do it. I have freaking journals filled with old poetry that haven't seen the light of day in decades. I mean, I can't. Trust me, you need me to filibuster, my friend? I can filibuster. How about I just go through some of the tweets that I got? As a matter of fact, I'm kind of bummed that I even said that to you because I was. That's kind of a lame joke
also,
that I've been using.
Haven't you burned all of your old poetry?
I did.
I thought of you
I
the other day.
Up. Yeah.
There was a. I forget the name of the high end fashion house, but one of the like real top ones, like very expensive, very hoity toity fashion houses. Declared that they would no longer burn their excess merchandise at the end of the year, which I found out is a completely normal thing. They were burning like hundreds of millions of dollars worth of handbags and other things. This is common in the industry because if they don't sell something and then it's out of style, they don't want it flooding the market, sure, making their real stuff cheaper, or they just, if they can't sell it, they don't want it to exist. But then other people were like, dudes, that is a massive waste. Stop doing that. And yeah. So, again, I forget which house it was, but they declared they would no longer burn their stuff. That's like you with your poetry.
Yeah, I tore mine up. I didn't burn it because I was living in an apartment at the time, and you know how that goes. Burning it would have been probably more poetic. But I think the point was I
get some absinthe and sit and burn your old poetry.
Yeah, and I that's the whole point. I think I learned I'm not a poet, so let's not do this poetically. Let me just tear this shit up before I move back to Seattle. By the way, apparently our friend the Stubot, I know that he called me last night right after the Browns win.
What?
I was just kidding. I watched the game live, Luke. I'm a real card.
I cannot believe he just told that joke.
Obviously, pretty big night here in the Walsh household. I'm sorry, has Walsh household. Had a bunch of people over. Had some drop bys. Had some hop ons actually who swung
You're
by the party later. It was great. It was literally, and I'm using literally.
How did your snacking situation turn out? It was a big question mark going into last night's festivities.
Well, I was just going to say, it felt like a Super Bowl here. The snacking was fine.
Please don't be mean to Cleveland.
I got a few pizzas from Papa Murphy's. They were, you know, really, as I predicted, they were pretty mean to me. They really intimidated me when I was trying to order it. Mm-hmm. And really, I mean, kind of bullying. But you expect that when you're ordering a pizza, and that's why I was nervous to call them. But everything ended up okay.
Sure.
No, it was really good. My first Papa Murphy's experience was really great. I will probably continue
to
do that.
I love that place.
The one thing, though, and I was talking to somebody about this last night, I expected, and I hope I think you agree with this. I don't think of myself as a cheap person by any means. And I don't usually, you know, kind of like double check the tab after dinner out or something. But I do think I was expecting a little bit more of a deal considering that you have to do the second half of the prep.
You
for
have
it.
To bake it?
Yeah, which, I mean, I understand why that works. And, you know, I preferred to bake it this time, which is why I went there. But I didn't think it was going to be... I thought it was going to be a little bit cheaper than it was. I mean, it wasn't, it didn't, you know, I ordered three large pizzas, not the largest. It's actually, yeah, that's a whole rant we could do. I'll do that tomorrow on Monday when we open up the show and you need a good 5 minutes from
me.
Show. Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Andrew's Extras Saturdays at noon.
They, nobody calls anything small, medium, and large. Like Papa John's has three sizes, but those sizes are, I'm sorry,
Papa Murphy's
has three sizes and they're medium, large, and family size. They don't have a small. Like, can't we just call it small, medium, and large? Like, nobody wants to sell anything small. Anyway, I ordered the middle size. I got three large pizzas and it was, I think, exactly $50. That breaks down okay. I don't think that's super expensive, but I expect it to be a little bit more of a savings.
Yeah, in my mind, it's like a large pizza is around maybe these days like $20. That sounds like what a large pizza costs if you're not at a wood fire artisanal type joint.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to cook the pizza, somehow my mind says it should be about half the price of a normal pizza.
Or at least a little bit off, yeah.
I have no, I don't have any kind of, accounting to account for that. But in my mind, it's like, I'm cooking it. That should be getting it for about half price. You're right. Probably maybe two-thirds of the normal cost.
Yeah, something like
would
that.
Would seem like the right amount. Well, what happened to me when I went to the Papa Murph's down the street from here, down Alabama, was I went in there, and they made the pizza up for me. I've been to that place twice. Like I said, I really liked it. But the guy handed – and they were super nice. But the guy handed me the pizza, and then he said, I recognize you. You'll know how to cook this. Like, he didn't have to give me the cooking instructions. And at this point, I had never been in there before. And
oh,
I was like,
you told me that, right?
Yeah, who do you who is there a guy? I mean, I'm a white guy in Bellingham in my 40s. So let's, I'm definitely, I'm not probably sticking out in the crowd. But I was like, who does he think I am? There's somebody who looks just like me that comes into this Papa Murphy's so much that this guy's like, I've seen you before. You don't need the directions. When I legitimately needed the instructions. Because at this point, I had never been in there before.
I'm sure the internet can help you out. That reminds me of a weird note that I got today from an old friend and colleague. I mean, from way back in the days. You know, I'm looking for it on Instagram, but I don't like the Instagram. I think I've complained about this before. This is my real Andy Rooney rant here. I can never figure out how to go back to messages on Instagram. I don't think the UI is all that good, which is why young people will never get into Instagram.
I sent my boo a snap. I guess that makes me bad.
Let's just end it there. It ain't getting better than that shit. Let's just, that's good. You want new music for your weekend and get out of here because that's yeah. Good stuff. Anyway, so a friend and colleague of mine from way back in the day from college, she was actually she was older than me. She's probably 10 years older than me. She was a professional at the radio station where I was like a student employee. And, we hung out and stuff. And then years and years later, when I was in L.A., we reconnected. She's an actress and she lives in L.A. And she just started following me on Instagram and sent me a note on Instagram this morning that said – and I wonder if maybe – again, this is one of those things where now that I'm not on Facebook, I'm maybe a little bit harder to find. But she sent me this note saying, hey, can you – here's my phone number and email address. Could you email me? I want to connect you with somebody. I ran into a guy who looks exactly like you, and ooh, when I mentioned explicit. That to him, he said, you're the third person who asked me if I'm Andrew Walsh.
Whoa! are you,
this is some guy in L.A.
Me?
I have no idea who this is. There's some guy in L.A. who three people, including my friend Betsy,
what?
Asked him if he's Andrew Walsh. And like, I have a look have that is very like...
Stop the show.
I'm a middle-aged... pudgy
have we
guy.
Seen a picture of this guy?
No, she hasn't. I'm waiting. I have a look that looks very familiar, especially in Seattle, right? Untucked shirt, little pudgy beard, balding. Like, I look like a lot of guys in Seattle. I don't look as much like as many people in L.A., but it's not like I have a very signature look.
I have seen people around the Northwest that do remind me of you because, like you said, you have a beard. That's a pretty popular look these days. And you'll sometimes wear a collared shirt and you'll maybe wear a hoodie over it depending on the weather, and you'll often have a ball cap on.
Mm-hmm.
And you're about 6'2" or something, so you're kind of in a general range of a kind of person that is not infrequently seen out here. So I've seen that, but the fact that this guy must think you're friggin' famous if three people have approached him on the streets of Los Angeles being, are you Andrew Walsh?
Yeah,
I love it.
I wonder if I wonder who the other people are, if they're people I know in real life, if they're people who listen to the show. Maybe that person could become a listener, one by one. Every listener counts. Like I would think that if somebody came up to me and if the message was, are you this guy? No, who is this guy? He's a podcaster. I would check out that podcast.
Reminds me of the time back in the radio days on the show where we found out about Google Gangers.
Oh, yeah.
Which were the people who have the same name as you. And the story was in the New York Times about people who'd become friends with the person who had the same name as them upon Googling them. And so we found this Luke Burbank. There's another Luke Burbank in Missouri. And he Jen reached out and said, hey, do you want to be on our radio show? We have a host who has the same name. And the person said, nah, I'm good.
Right.
And then I believe a different person who has the same name as me. So there's one Luke Burbank who was like head of the Cattle Association in Missouri, And I think that's the Luke Burbank who said no thank you. But then another Luke Burbank got mad at me on Twitter because I wrote a joke about Donald Trump. And his Twitter handle is like the real Luke Burbank. Oh. He's some guy in Idaho. And he said, like, I forget. I had it pinned up in my office here, but now I have something else. Let me see if I can find it. It's underneath. Oh, man. It's under like too many layers of things pinned to the bulletin board. But basically, the guy was mad that I was making fun of Donald Trump. And because Donald Trump, this is when he was getting his inaugural speech ready, and he looked up. It was a photograph of him where he looked like he had been startled while writing this speech. And my puerile joke was, oh, that feeling when you farted in a room by yourself and then somebody comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And
which that isn't even a joke. That isn't even really a joke on the president. It's really
right.
It's really just kind of a joke about the human condition. It speaks to the heart of the human condition, I would say, the truth of the human condition.
Which is what I set out to do each and every day on this program.
Right.
I rarely accomplish it, but that day via Twitter, I had accomplished the goal. And the feedback from some guy who has the same name as me said, listen, man, we all fart. Get over it. Or like something like he was clearly mad at me that I was making a joke about the soon-to-be president farting. And he basically like – it was weird. Okay, now I got to actually –
because let me jump in here though, and while you're looking for that, because I will say like if he said something like, hey, man, we all fart, like that is the point of that joke. Like I understand it's a little bit – it's a little bit based on – it's kind of making fun of, I guess, the way he looks. But, and, you know, I don't usually make those kind of jokes for anybody, just generally speaking, because I don't like them towards me. But the main point of your – from everything you've told me right now, the main point of your tweet is more along the lines of everybody farts.
Well,
this is a relatable situation, right?
Honest, yes, but – I need to be totally honest.
You're making fun of
me. I don't like this guy who's the current president.
Right.
And I feel like his inaugural speech – well, for one thing, I was making fun of the photo because I believe the photo is posed in such a way where he's got a pen and paper out like he's writing the speech. Well, of course he didn't write his own inauguration speech. Somebody wrote it for him. And I think it was a posed picture that was supposed to make him look presidential or pre-presidential. Mm. And so I was annoyed by the photo because everything about this person annoys me, the current president. And so I was trying to put a subtle burn on him, but my exact tweet was, when you're writing your inauguration speech and also you farted and someone walks into the room unexpectedly, and I'll be honest.
Okay, you said you're pretending to read. Yeah, okay, yeah.
I'm trying to throw some shade, and I'm sure he heard about it. I haven't been blocked yet on Twitter by the president, but I assume that's only a matter of time. And then a guy who's called Real Luke Burbank, which, I mean, unless you're like a famous person, like unless you're Tom Cruise and you want to be on Twitter and you want to use Real Tom Cruise, I don't think any of us that have normal names and are a normal level of famous get to decide we're the real version of that person. Like, I don't have Real Luke Burbank. I'm just Luke Burbank. And if it had been taken, I'd probably be like Luke Burbank 15. Something about somebody who has a shared
name
declaring themselves.
You'd be Luke Burbank 420. Come on.
Got a minute. Luke Burbank 419. anyway, this guy who goes by Real Luke Burbank says, at Luke Burbank, who cares? We all fart, bro. Move on to actual reporting for once instead of beating the dead horse. We've heard enough.
Stick to usual reporting. You're not a reporter. I wish he had said stick to sports.
I was kind of flattered. Yeah. Stay in your lane. I was kind of flattered because I was like, wow, this guy thinks I do actual reporting or have actually done reporting. I was like, oh, I'll take it. That's a mild upgrade to what I actually do, which is fart jokes most of the time.
Right, right. Maybe he still just knows of your byline from your NPR congressional coverage days.
All of this to say, I hope that the person who shares your face, although not your name presumably, down in L.A., I hope that you and that person can be friends and not enemies like I am with all of the Luke Burbanks, including the Luke Burbank in Missouri, who has also every time I try to get my Starwood reward points at the hotel, they're trying to put it in his account.
Okay? Wait, what's happening, huh?
You know, if you stay at a certain, like the Starwood hotels, which they have a bunch of different hotels, it's a chain. And like Hilton, I forget, the Westin's in there. There's a bunch of them. The SPG, Starwood Points World or something. Every time I check into one of those hotels and they go, are you a Starwood preferred member? I go, I think I am. And then I go, it's Luke Burbank. And they look me up. And they go, Missouri? And I go, no. Different Luke Burbank. So I just want to – what I'm trying to say is that this other Luke Burbank, not the one who was shading me on Twitter, but the one in Missouri who doesn't want to be on my radio show, I think he's hogging up all of our Starwood points. Mm-hmm. But that's neither here nor there.
Okay.
I hope you can be friends with the guy who looks like you who's roaming L.A.
I think we can all agree, based on everything I've told you right now, that this fella sounds dashing. That's all I can say about that.
Let's do this. Let's take a quick break, and then we will come back. I started listening to the third season of Serial, so I can give you kind of a quick update on that. Plus, we'll do some donors of the day. We have invertebrates in the news, and then we have music for your weekend. So still lots to get to on this Friday. Stay with us. It's TBTL. Just Like Heaven, the Watson Twins.
Yeah, this was your pick. I remember, I think you might have played this as music for your weekend at one point. By the way, I'm excited about that. I thought this was
your pick because I was going to suggest Heaven is a Place on Earth by Belinda Carlisle.
Oh, you know, we could, do you want it? That's pretty
that
good.
That just become our new. it's like a car game. Like, we start and then we have to just keep naming songs.
One of those games where, oh, I think I've literally played this in the car with you one time, right? You say a celebrity's name,
right?
And then what do you have to come up with somebody's whose first name is the last name of the last person who said something?
No, that's movie star. Like you have to come up with a star and then a movie they're in, and then someone else was in that movie, and then a different movie that star was in. And then after you play the Belinda Carlisle thing, then I suggest. Oh, I was actually going to say you should play Heaven Isn't Too Far Away by Warrant.
Oh, I don't know if I know that song, but I do like this song. Oh, that is a good song.
Ooh, Heaven is a Place on Earth, Belinda Carlisle. I was going to suggest Heaven Isn't Too Far Away by Warrant.
Do you actually know that song, or are you just looking up?
Yeah, dude.
Really?
I love that song.
The only Warrant songs I knew were the ones that were on the Cherry Pie album. Was it called Uncle
You'll
Tom's Cabin?
I believe you'll recognize this one.
All right. I'm not finding it. Heaven Isn't Too Far Away?
Heaven Isn't Too Far Away by Warrant.
Huh. You know what? Warrant might not be on Spotify. They didn't think it was a good financial decision for a band on the rise to.
I've got it here. I'll play it. I'm just waiting for a pasta commercial to end.
Okay.
And now.
Got a picture of your house, and you're standing by the door. Black and white and faded, and it's looking pretty warm. I see the factory that it worked, silhouetted in the back. The memories are gray, but man, they're really coming back.
Here's where it gets good.
I don't need to be the king of the world.
Oh, yeah, of course.
You'll
okay.
Recognize it now, right?
Yeah.
As long as I'm the hero of this little girl.
Ew.
Heaven isn't too far.
I think he's talking about his daughter.
Oh, truly?
Yeah. Now, of course, whenever I play this song, then I'm reminded of a song that I love by Afro Man called Compton Isn't Too Far Away, which I've played on the show at times. I don't know why I had an Afro Man. You know, that's the Because I Got High guy.
No, I don't know.
Because I got high. Because I got
oh,
high.
Oh, yeah,
because
yeah,
I got
okay.
high.
Yeah.
But on this, on the song on the album Afroholic by Afro Man, he had this song called Compton Isn't Too Far Away, which I love, and I sing this more than Heaven Isn't Too Far Away.
We wanted to get out the ghetto, but after we moved out the ghetto, it was hard to get things we needed. I took a picture in the hood, standing by the door. White t-shirt and black khakis, sagging kinda low. I see the corner that I work, with my homies in the back. LAPD searching us, looking for some crack. I don't need to be the king of the world, I just need some activator for my cherry girl. Compton isn't too far away.
And for whatever reason, this song has supplanted the Warrant version to where when I sing the song Heaven Isn't Too Far Away in my head, I sing Compton Isn't Too Far Away by Afro Man.
Oh. I was unfamiliar with it, and I had totally forgotten about the about his Because I Got High song. What era is this? Why do I even know this?
The story on Because I Got High, as I heard it once on the show Loveline. By the way, he has a line in this song where he goes, "I'm going parking lot platinum in my Astro van." I don't even know what that means, but I love it. Someday yeah. I'd like to go parking lot platinum in my Astro van. I think he was on Loveline, and he was telling the story of that Because I Got High song. Which I don't think we can play it here because, like, a lot of the things he was going to do but then forgot to because he got high are, like, not – let's just say they're not McCoy Colvin appropriate. I heard from Josh, McCoy's dad. McCoy's the kid with the broken arm. And Josh texted me and he said, yeah, McCoy heard the shout-out, and yeah, I had to explain the Mile High Club.
Oh, that's on me. But did McCoy – once he understood it, did McCoy think it was a real zinger? Did he just think it was a real – that it was really
get
worth –
get at us, McCoy. Yeah. I don't know if you could operate email with one arm, but email luke@tbtl.net and let us know if you thought that was a quality spoof by old Uncle Andrew.
It was so bad.
But anyway, the story on Afro Man Because I Got High that I had heard was that – he was, you know, trying to make it as a musician, and he was not having a lot of success, but he got some studio time, and he recorded a demo or a couple of demos, and they didn't go anywhere, and he literally threw, or someone threw the reel-to-reel tape, like the tape of Because I Got High. Like it was, the master recording was in a garbage can in a studio. Kind of like, this is not going anywhere, get rid of it. And again, as I say it out loud, it sounds almost too good to be true. But the story from Afro Man was somebody went into that recording studio and was digging around in the garbage and found it and played it and thought it was kind of catchy. And it became a giant hit for him. And he still tours. I still see posters for Afro Man. And I'm sure he mostly just comes out there. He probably sings Compton Isn't Too Far Away. And then closes the night out with Because I Got High. And everybody at Fill in the Blank Casino goes home happy.
So he's only...
Who are at the concert, not the right. people who are gambling, they probably go home sad.
Right. So he's more of a comedian. I'm looking at his albums here. Is he almost more of a comedian or like a Weird Al type almost? I take it all of his stuff is aimed to make us laugh.
I think he kind of just goes in the direction... Okay. I don't care about nothing. I found a clean version of Because I Got High.
Okay.
Roll another blunt. Yeah.
You remember this song?
I do vaguely. La da 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 da. La da da da. La da da da.
La da da da. La da da da. I was gonna clean my room until I got high. I was gonna get up and find the broom, but then I got high. La da. My room is still messed up, and I know why.
Why, man?
Yeah, because I got high. Because I got high. Because I got high.
This is not the kind of thing that should amuse me at all, because, like, I'm not a stoner. I don't care about stoner humor. But I don't know why I kind of have a little soft spot for this song.
Did you guys talk about this a lot on TBTL? Because I'm having one of those things where I know my brain is bad, but I would have never remembered this at all. If you'd, you know, just asked me to come up with Afro Man, I would have no idea. but I'm hearing this. I clearly remember it, but I have zero context for it. Like, it doesn't remind me of a certain place I was. I listened to this with friends. It was on the radio or whatever. Like, almost every song I have some sort of context to. Was this something that you guys talked about on TBTL a lot at the time? This would have been 2001.
I don't think so. And also, Jen's not a weed person.
Right.
So I don't
and neither
think,
are you.
I don't think so. I think what happened was... I'm trying to find the Wikipedia entry for this song because I think that probably what happened was it made its way onto what was considered alternative radio maybe because of it kind of the drug message. And this maybe was when I was listening to The End or something a lot. The song explains how the narrator has forgotten to clean his room, failed his college class, sold Kush, missed court dates, had his paycheck garnished due to missed child support payments, gambled away his car payment, became a paraplegic as a result of a police chase, lost his family, had messed up his entire life, and is now homeless because he got high.
Thanks, Wikipedia.
He ultimately decides to end the song and states that he is singing the whole thing wrong because he is high. After this, Afro Man mentions his name and birthplace, East Palmdale, says the tumbleweed he smokes is bomb as hell, and then says he does not believe in Hitler, a reference to John Lennon's song God. The music video was directed by Kevin Smith, featuring Jay and Silent Bob smoking with Afro Man. Let's see. I'm going to try to. The reception. Afro Man released his album Because I Got High in 2000. Jeez, I was very old. Like, that's. That is very close to 9/11. I'm mildly embarrassed that I thought about the song as much as I did, knowing that I was. I was like north of 20 at this point. Let's see. The title track was soon posted on file sharing service Napster and made it to the Howard Stern show. This song was the theme song of the film Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, and later featured in the films Disturbia, A Thousand Words, and The Perfect Score. After the success of this single, Afro Man was signed to Universal Records. So I don't think that it necessarily by the way, parodies, Bob Rivers included a Christmas-themed version, Because I Got High, on the 2002 album White Trash Christmas. I feel like Because I Got High is enough of a parody song on its own.
Yes.
Do we need to parody
Because
I Got High? That's like somebody covered My Sharona by Weird Al
right.
and renamed it Smith Corona, and it's about a typewriter. Like, actually, is that what he does?
Wait, what does he do? So My Sharona is the original, right?
Does he just do a polka version of it?
Let me look.
No, My Bologna.
My Bologna,
sorry,
right.
My Bologna.
Okay, yeah.
It'd be like someone covering My Bologna, which is Weird Al's cover of My Sharona, but calling it My Corona, and it's about Mexican beer.
Right, which is actually like, not a bad idea, Luke, if you need a quick buck.
It's already a parody song. What are you doing parodying a parody song?
Right. Or, yeah, even that one is a little bit like, well, I'm not parodying his. I'm parodying the original, and I just think mine is better. Wouldn't it be great if somebody's just like, no, mine's better than Weird Al's? But your point is taken, that you're taking a song that is already supposed to be funny and making another funny version of it. Now, Bob Rivers, is that the guy from Seattle? Is he the Seattle radio host?
Yeah.
Wow.
He made a lot of money and got a lot of adulation over his twisted tunes. He was the morning guy for years on KISW here in Seattle, and I think was nominated for the like Broadcast Hall of Fame recently, which I heard. I think the reason that Afro Man was in any way on my radar was because at that time I was listening to a lot of the show Loveline with Dr. Drew and Adam Carolla. It was on. I think it started out on The Buzz in Seattle, and then The Buzz might have folded, and then it moved over to The End, or it was on The End the whole time, and I'm just confusing things. There was kind of a cool moment, I thought, for talk radio in Seattle when you had The Buzz, which used to have the Don and Mike show on it, which I loved. Very sad when the Don and Mike show went away out of WJFK in D.C. I've said this many times, but the whole kind of opening package of TBTL is now – It's evolved over the years, but it was very heavily influenced in the early days by the Don and Mike show intro. And they're the guys who started Paint Your Bald Spot. Like, they were the ones who first were obsessed with that clip of Larry King. And so we use that. That show doesn't exist anymore, Don and Mike, so I feel like it's okay for us to use it. But, like, their website, their fan website or their tape archive is called, like, paintyourbaldspot.com.
Mm-hmm.
So that show was playing in Seattle in the daytime. I remember I used to, like, if I was home or something, if I was doing stuff around the house, I'd listen to that show. And then at night at 11 o'clock or whatever, on the end, 107.7, Loveline would come on with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew, and I just loved it. And I would schedule things around those 2 hours of radio. Like anything that was tedious, it was less tedious for me when I was listening to Loveline. And I was talking when I got together with some tens here in Bellingham this week. I was talking to, I think, listener Amelia was saying how she used to drive a lot for her job, and she would listen to TBTL. Her mom turned her on to TBTL, I believe, and she would listen to us as she was driving around at night. And I love having a radio show or a podcast. Like today I was listening to Serial as I was walking Rudy. I love having a show in my back pocket that I'm like – I kind of look forward all day to getting to listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that if there's something that I'm – like walking the dog and listening to an episode of Serial or listening to an episode of the Mental Illness Happy Hour podcast or Jesse Case, Jesse versus Cancer, one of these shows that I'm a pretty regular consumer of. Listening to that show while I walk the dog is a real happy place for me. So the fact that TBTL gets to be that a little bit for other people, it brings me such
– yeah.
I'm so happy to be part of that, to be that for someone else, because I know exactly how fun that is to have your show you're all excited about.
Yeah. You know how I talk about how I'm not – how I don't really listen to podcasts as much as I should? Like every time, like, I don't know, I'm in a – I'm with a group of people who are also in the podcasting business, as cheesy as that is to sound. I was in that situation having dinner with a couple of guys who were also podcasters the other day, and I was like, man, I'm sorry I don't listen to your show. I just really do not listen to very many podcasts, which is a really bad place for me to be, given that this is my profession. But it's like so much easier for me just to kind of flip on the radio and just listen to whatever babble is going on. I'm not proud of that. Anyway, I'm trying to make a little bit of a change and be a little bit – I'm trying to listen to public radio a little bit more, trying to listen to more podcasts. And I got a good opportunity. Somebody emailed me from the International Documentary Association, I think they're called. I have a friend, a former colleague, who apparently is a member or is somehow working with them for their first ever podcast documentary awards. And so they gave me and they want me to be like one of the judges. You know, they try to get as many people as possible, and then there'll be a big meeting in November and we'll swap notes and I guess crown somebody king documentary. I kind of skipped over the small print, but it's good for me because now I have this big list of like good shit that I, you know, from all different sources, just all kinds of documentary style podcasts I got to listen to before like mid-November. And so like I've been going to the gym and like popping that on and actually like kind of churning through some stuff because I have to, and it's really good. I think I need that kind of motivation sometimes to kind of get me off my ass, and getting off my ass in this case just means turning off the radio and dialing up a podcast. But you know how you have to kind of sometimes be in the mood to try something new? You know, it's good for me to have this kind of spark. I've been enjoying it.
Yeah, to me it's so – and this goes for probably almost everybody who listens to our show. It is so much about one's daily schedule. And I remember this from the days of doing an over-the-air broadcast radio show. People will be like, oh, my God, I never miss your show. And then their commute changes. And then it's like, oh, is that still on? Like it's completely a relationship of convenience usually, which I don't begrudge people. Like, you know, for me – if I'm driving at a time when a show is on, a radio show that I like, I'll listen to it all the time. But then if for some reason I'm not in the car at the same time, or I sort of got out of the habit of walking the dog, which is bad. I for whatever reason, when we moved to Bellingham, I was really into walking the dog, and I would listen. That was when I really got into the Mental Illness Happy Hour podcast. I listened to almost all of the old episodes and a lot of other podcasts, and I just like kind of set aside an hour or two every day to be out walking around listening to a podcast, walking the dog.
Mm-hmm.
I got out of the habit of that. I just got back in that habit like a month ago, and it is changing my life, honestly, not to overstate it.
Mm-hmm.
But first of all, for me, walking the dog is more meditative than I realized. Like there's just something very soothing about having some time where I'm not looking at my phone or the computer, where I'm outside breathing fresh air, where I'm with the dog, and where I'm kind of listening and not talking.
Mm-hmm.
It's very healthful for me for whatever reason. And so I've gotten back into doing that, and I'm really happy that I have, but it's also now opened up about 2 hours a day of pod listening.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, I'm burning through the podcasts again. But were I not taking the dog on a walk, I would probably be completely out of the habit once again. So anyway, I don't know if that really went anywhere, but my point is I'm very happy. I'm feeling really happy that I have like kind of carved that time back out to do that, because it's making me feel a lot better about my life.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. And also, Genevieve, I mean, this is aside from the point that you're actually trying to make. You're talking about your own, you know, kind of balance. I'm going to take this more to podcast town, but I think I told you maybe off air that Genevieve was on a podcasting panel at the, Nick Jarin, who's on the show quite a bit. He, I believe he announced on the show, he and Dyer Oxley, his co-host on Northwest Nerd, they're so great at like integrating themselves into kind of like nerd culture and cons and stuff. And there was the Renton Comic-Con last week, I want to say, RenCon. Last weekend or the weekend before, and Genevieve was one of the panelists on a panel he put together just about podcasting. It was Nick, it was Aaron Mason from Grapes of Rad, it was Genevieve, and a woman who works for the GeekWire podcast. And it was, you know what, Luke, this is where I think you and I are kind of different in this way. Like, I'm sitting there in the audience. It's a very small event, right? And I'm going to say that there's like maybe 15 people in attendance, which is very small. I know three of the four people. I'm pretty close to three of the four people on the stage. And I know their podcast, and we talk about podcasting all the time, but there's still something about like sitting. I attended and I sat in the back of the room. And one thing that popped up was Genevieve said, you know, everybody, we need to stop making podcasts and to do more listening to podcasts or something, which is apparently like more pod listening, because people are making podcasts but not listening to what's out there enough, which I thought was kind of a good point. But that's what made me think of this. But my broader point now is, it was interesting for me. Like, I am such a, I don't want to say I'm a sucker for it, but things like that always inspire me more. These are four people, three of whom I know really, really well, talking about podcasting, conversations that I would have with them over coffee or drinks at any given day. Yet sitting there in that setting, I'm in the back of the room for an hour listening to podcasting, them talk about podcasting and taking questions from the audience. And I left there like feeling inspired and, you know, like, oh, I had takeaways from that. Right. And I'm the only one in the room who actually does a podcast for a living, you know, but like,
right,
there is stuff that I just sort of feel like there's always something you can kind of learn or take away from those situations. That's why I think I'm a little bit more, I get a little bit more excited about going to conferences and stuff, because you're often leaving them just with a feeling, just like a little bit of a feeling of, oh yeah, I can't wait to get back in the studio to do this or try that. Well, or reinvigorate me.
One of our friend Christina Lopez, our coworker, had retweeted someone saying kind of, basically saying like, why are we always talking about podcasts in terms of what the next viral hit is? I'm paraphrasing. And so I was like, oh, that's interesting, because I definitely, like, you know, here we are doing this for our job. I don't think anyone could describe TBTL as a viral hit, but we found a niche that works for us. It works for the listeners. It's you know, sustainable as long as people keep donating. Thank you, by the way. That's a little preview of what you're going to hear when we do the donors of the day. So stay tuned for that. But then I went and clicked on the person who had tweeted that originally, who Christina was retweeting, and it was somebody who writes about the podcast industry. Mm. And of course, because they were basically saying kind of what is music to my ears, which is, it's not always about being a viral hit, which that's comforting to me, because I went from like the early days of TBTL being like a podcast and being like, we're going to be a viral hit, to being like, man, viral hits are overrated. Why? Well, because we're not a viral hit. So having somebody say like, that's not necessarily where it's at, that it's sort of like preaching the gospel that I'm already predisposed to want to hear. But then I was looking at this person's tweets, and I started following this person on Twitter. Like, oh, yeah, somebody who writes about the podcast industry. I'm interested in that. I have to be honest with you. That's like the most I've engaged with the podcast industry in like years. And that's been totally a self-protection mechanism on my part, because when you hear about a podcast conference that we're not at, or you hear about some kind of a con that we weren't invited to or turned down by, or and everyone's talking about all of like the hot cool podcast networks, and we're not, you know, like, oh, Gimlet is, there's a TV show about Gimlet, Alex Incorporated or whatever, and we love Alex Bloomberg, we've had him on the show or whatever, but like, My natural reaction to whenever anyone else is doing well or getting, you know, plaudits is to make a world in which I don't even want that. I don't even like that.
Yeah.
So my protection mechanism has been to totally withdraw from the world of podcasting other than to do this podcast.
Yeah.
And the other things that I do that become eventually a podcast, like Livewire.
Right.
And a podcast I recorded for Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, where Faith Saley interviewed me, which I think is dropping next week. But other than that,
I think tomorrow, I got a note from somebody who's very interested in letting people know that I think that might drop tomorrow. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, Naked and Ashamed or something?
Well, they're doing coming up in October is the 20th anniversary of Wait, Wait. And so Faith did a series of interviews of all of the panelists and interviewed me a while ago, actually. And then they're just releasing those as kind of, I guess, podcast extras. And so to regular disappoint, this is not a great sales pitch. I'm sure if you listen to TBTL and you're hearing my voice right now, you're probably a regular listener to this show. Me and Faith chatting, you'll hear a lot of the greatest hits. You will hear me saying a lot of things that I've probably said 1,000 times on this show. So be ready for that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it was a very fun conversation to be a part of. And hopefully it will tell some more people about TBTL.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was just funny. The simple act of following a person who tweets about the podcast industry was me opening my heart up again to this thing that is the business of podcasting.
Sure.
Because it's so tied up in my own ego. Like, it's so much about me wanting to, like, reject people who are doing things with podcasting if it feels like I'm not invited to that party,
mm-hmm.
Which is so sad of me. And this is one click over from that, but you might get a kick out of this, Andrew. I'm going to really regret getting into this on the show. And we're getting no closer to the top story.
No, you know what? Those invertebrates this might be
in the news. They'll hold till Monday.
I think this might be a true river show.
This is going to be a river of souls. I'm about to I shouldn't do this. I'm going to need you to bleep part of this voicemail when I play it back.
Oh, okay.
But I'm trying to be super vague because I know this is going to come back to bite me in the butt. But it honestly kind of weirdly delighted me today. So how do I tell this story without burning all of my bridges? So I work with some folks who sort of represent me at like a talent agency. And they have that agency has partnerships with a number of different agencies that do different things like PR and stuff like that. And I was approached by somebody in the PR wing who's great, said there's this an online magazine that was interested in having you kind of write up basically they send you a bunch of questions and you answer them, and it's about basically how to have a hit podcast. And they sent me the questions, and I was. Just because I'm lazy, I didn't really look at the questions. And then I finally did look at the questions. And then I went to the website where this was going to be featured. And it was very slick. Like, it looks like it has probably a lot of views. And the people on the website are all kind of – they're real doers. They're kind of thought leaders. They're they're not influencers. Like, they're not necessarily Instagram models. But they're, like, the kind of people who are – doing interesting stuff and breaking new ground and good at telling you how to break that new ground, right?
Mm-hmm.
If that makes any sense? Mm-hmm. Sort of like going in the direction of a TED Talk kind of a deal. So I was being asked if I would write up my kind of tips on how to have like a hit podcast. And two parts of my brain were really fighting over this. One part of my brain was like, any attention is good attention. This is legitimizing. You'll be in this online magazine. And you can say it's a hit podcast because it's here 10 years later and it's still going. And it's actually a job you do and actually a job Andrew does. And there's no such thing as – well, there is such a thing as bad attention. But getting some attention for this is definitely not a bad thing for us. And you and I should both be availing ourselves whenever possible of stuff like this.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, a qualified professional kind of went to bat and got this set up for me. And so I shouldn't pass on it because somebody's put some time into this. Those were all the arguments on the side of just do this thing. Kind of like they're sort of related to the arguments of why I often take gigs that I don't necessarily want to do. And one of those came up recently. Somebody wanted me to basically be the auctioneer at an event that was hosted by the singer Harry Connick Jr.
Okay.
And
he seems
part
like
of my brain
fella.
Was He does. Seems like a sweetheart. In fact, I was a huge fan of his music in high school. Harry Connick Jr. is the bridge music for Christian kids who are about to branch out into non-Christian music.
I thought that was Amy Grant. Oh, no. Amy Grant is still 1 foot still in Christianity, I guess.
She is the beginning of the bridge.
Okay.
And then you step, and you walk past Baby Baby.
Uh-huh.
And then you step onto, what is it? Blue Light, Red Light, whatever the Harry Connick Jr. album was. It's kind of standards and Harry Connick Jr. songs that are not offensive. Your parents, Christians, will be like, yeah, okay, we can get down with this. And then next thing you know, Warrant.
And then
Heaven Isn't Too Far Away.
Counting Crows, Warrant. Underneath the bridge is Gwar, just lurking like a troll. Okay,
near the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Right.
Or as I call them, the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yes.
So on one side of my brain is, do this interview because what's the downside? And maybe it will move the needle incrementally somewhere. Maybe the right person will see it, and it will make you 2% more famous, and it will make TBTL 2% more famous. And then on the other side is, I don't really want to do this because that's not how I present myself. And I don't have to take every opportunity that is presented to me. Just like the Harry Connick Jr. thing, it was a fundraiser for Steve Gleason, the former New Orleans Saint player and Washington State Cougar who has ALS and has become a real inspirational leader in the fight to try to find a cure for ALS. So he's well known. He has a lot of well known friends, and his charity organization has done a lot of amazing work. So part of my brain was like, yeah, I'll show up for this thing, even though, by the way, I'm not an auctioneer. Like, that's not the part of the deal that I do. I'm the MC person, and I don't say that with any kind of like pride. I don't know how to do the like, all right, here's this trip to Cabo. We'll start it at $1,000. Do I hear $2,000? Does anybody want to do $3,000? Like, that's a skill that like people that are good at it are good at it. I'm not one of them. I've intentionally not learned that skill because again, if people were like, hey, do you want some money to come be an auctioneer? I'd probably be like, yes. This is the last time anyone will offer me a job. So I turned down the Harry Connick thing, or more accurately, I just said I don't really do that. In the olden days, I would have been like, I'll just learn auctioneering between now and the event because it's going to be me and more famous people than me on stage. And then there will be some people in the audience and they'll be like, that guy seems cool. He's standing near a famous person. Maybe he's worth considering as a human. And then I'll feel good for a minute. I didn't this time. I was like, that's not my gig. Here's somebody who will be good at that gig. And with the opportunity to do this interview in this online magazine, I just said, you know, I really appreciate you presenting this to me. I just don't think this is the right fit for me. And I listed the reasons. So now this is the part where I'm going to get in trouble because I got a call like 4 minutes later from my agent who was CC'd on the email. And I was doing something else. But
can you give me a little taste of what your reasons were? Like you said to this person, I think I'm going to pull out of this interview because what were the kind of reasons? Were they reasonable, do you think?
I think I can read you exactly what I said. I said, thank you for thinking of me on this, but having looked at the page and the general vibe of the other interviews I'd be featured with, I just don't think this is right for me or TBTL. I'm always nervous about being portrayed as an expert on podcasting or doing anything that veers into quasi-TED Talk or how to Excel stuff. Please do keep me in mind for future things. If you're not too annoyed that I'm passing on this one, smiley emoji. And if you are, I get that too. Thanks, L. That was the email.
I think that, like, I don't want – I get nervous being put in a place where I would be talking like an expert. I think that's fair.
Yeah, but let me just say that most of the people that my agent reps and that are being repped by this PR firm would be like, hey, this is a chance to get the name out there.
Yeah,
like, I'm doing something
that.
That's not – I'm not unlike our T-shirts for TBTL at the Mariners night, which do not say TBTL. I'm like doing a bad job of pushing the brand by being like, yeah, no thanks.
Yeah, no, me, Andrew, I wish you had done this, but I'm just trying to figure out, like, before you play the voicemail, I wanted to kind of know the vibe of like, okay, from the perspective of this person, is that a reasonable excuse? In fact, not that you asked me, I actually think you put too much in there. Like the TED Talk thing seems almost a little snarky. I would have just been like, you know what? I've been thinking about it, and this kind of puts me in a position of talking as an expert, and I'm just not an area I'm familiar with or comfortable with.
I do think I'm an expert.
Well,
that's
of course,
the messed
right.
up part.
But
that's not even the part. I mean, that's legitimately
person,
not
though,
the reason I
legit.
Didn't do it. Right. I didn't want – no, here's the thing. I think I know everything about podcasting because I've been doing it almost longer than anyone else in America. But I also think if I saw like a picture of me on this cool splash page and it was like five tips on how to be an expert at podcasting, I'd be like, F that guy.
Yeah.
Like if I were just looking at a person being me in that. But I also secretly think I do know the answers, which then raises the question, why don't you do it, Luke? Like, yeah, as in, why don't you execute the – if you know the principles, why are you not using them?
This is really informative for me because I'm now learning that we could potentially be sitting on some huge audience growth.
Yes.
But you're just
– It starts with putting names on the T-shirt.
And doing
and
interviews where we get
there.
To be in magazines. Yes. Anyway,
I
am now officially annoyed with you, but that's not the point. The point I was going for was like – from what this from this person's limited perspective on your reason for passing, I think that's a reasonable explanation.
I think I was reasonable too in how I described it, and I may have over-explained it, but I guess that's a thing I tend to do. If I'm giving someone an answer that I don't think is the answer they're looking for, I probably over-explain it, hoping to manage their feelings
mm-hmm.
about me.
Sure,
because I'm not giving them the answer that I think they maybe want to hear. So this is where things get dicey because my agent called me, and he was not the person who had proposed this whole thing, but he's part of the organization essentially that did. And I got this call, came in like 3 minutes after I had sent this email, and I was doing something else, so I legitimately couldn't answer the phone. But I was also like, oh boy, this is going to be a talk. It's going to be like, come on, bro, like you got to like play ball here. You got to help us out. We're trying to help you. Help us help you.
Mm-hmm.
And he literally starts the voicemail by saying, this is off the record. So I can't believe I'm playing this.
Oh, my God.
I'm basically going to play this.
Are you sure?
I'm going to play this. But then I'm probably going to call you after the show and say, can you bleep all or most of this out? But I thought you would get a kick out of it. I'm really playing this because my agent is the coolest agent in the history of the world. And like is the opposite of, you know, you always play Mort, my pretend agent.
Yeah, I was hoping
my
that
real
this
agent,
was a huge lead up for Mort. That would be
no, this
amazing.
Is not Mort. Just take a listen to this and don't stress, Andrew. We can bleep all of this out or just cut this all out. Okay. Let's see here.
Hello, Luke.
Hello. Lukey B. Lukey B.
I miss him so
much. All right,
much.
Here we go.
Hey, Luke. I hope you're doing well. Hey, man, I'm driving, but I just want to let you know I saw your reply to. I have to say, off the record, it really made me happy. And I've realized it's a weird thing for a talent agent, but I love it when people turn things down. I don't know exactly what that means, and it can't possibly be good for my ridiculously fragile business model, but I'm realizing that it's true. It just puts such a smile on my face, and I completely get why you're turning it down, and I don't know. Anyway, man, it just made me happy. I hope you're well.
How's that?
That's
how's
great.
That
oh, man. Obviously, I thought that was all going the other way until you said you have a cool agent at the very end. I was like, oh, my God. I was ready for that guy to rip into you.
No, and he could have. Sorry, I was also releasing the hounds while you were responding to that. I mean, the reason that I probably shouldn't play that is just because the guy's job is to try to get people to take part in things that generate money for the client and him. So him saying to me subtly, like, you know, it's funny to me when people turn things down. That's probably not good for his brand.
Right.
And this all may be cut out later. I don't know. I'm going to call him and ask him if he cares if I played the message.
Well, but I've already decided what I'm going to do is I'm going to beep everything except for his name and the company he works for.
Perfect. Now that's exactly. No, but here's the point of me playing that. You asked me the other day, I think it was – I don't know if you asked me or if it just came up. But on like Monday's show, I was talking about intrusive thoughts and how I kind of went into the top of Monday's show without a clear plan in my mind of what my patter was going to be at the top of the show. Like I was just kind of talking off the top of my head. And because I didn't have a clear plan in mind, I was also being bombarded by random thoughts, which happens a lot. And then I started talking about how on Saturday night when I was doing this event with the Seattle Symphony, how I had gone up there without a super tight plan and it went okay. And then I was almost starting to feel this weird sense of like, hey, maybe all these years of talking into microphones is actually leading me towards being okay at it, which is – it's weird that it's taken me this long to even consider that thought. And I feel like today was an extension of that, like me saying – you know, I don't have to take every single gig that's offered to me. It probably doesn't mean that like no one will ever offer me a job again or an opportunity. And if there's something that doesn't feel like it's exactly the right fit for me, and but it could, there's a 1% chance it could advance my career, but it also just doesn't quite feel like something that's a good fit, it's okay for me to politely decline that. Like, those don't seem like big deals, but those are really – that is stuff I would have never done 5 years ago or 2 years ago. I don't know what is changing internally for me, but it feels like some weird version of being kind of like, oh, I don't have to just be so – well, I'm stopping myself because what I'm starting to say sounds really braggy. Like, I think that my general thing has been it is a complete and total – I'm pulling something off on everyone getting to have any of the jobs I have. And if I stop grinding for 1 second, everyone will figure out what a fraud I am. And then I will have no more jobs. And at this point, I think I'm starting to realize, like, no, I think I'm okay at these jobs, or at least I can hold my own. And therefore, like, I don't have to feel like I snuck in and I'm wearing, I don't have to feel like Sebastian Janikowski looks. Like, I snuck onto the field, I put a uniform on, I'm pretending to be a person who hosts radio shows and podcasts. That's actually what I do. And, you know, I'm not saying I'm the greatest at it, but I think it's okay for me to recognize that that is my job and that I have a certain facility with it at times.
Yeah, I'm sure we're just jinxing the shit out of ourselves here, but that's kind of how I've been feeling. And you and I have talked about this off the air, and I think it's okay for me to say it on the air as well. And I've said this, you know, I know our bosses do listen. We joke around a lot. Actually, don't even joke. I think we're pretty honest when we say, like, oh, man, you know, we just found out we got a note from our boss, or our boss's boss. Like, apparently he was listening to the show and it sends a chill up your spine. Well, I've really gotten used to the fact that, you know, I've been having a lot more conversations. Our direct supervisor left, and so now his boss is kind of our direct supervisor. And I've been having a kind of regular meetings with him and talking. And it's like, oh, we really are on and I think a little bit more so. I think there's actually an internal effort to kind of, like, pay a little bit more attention to TBTL and kind of legitimize us a little bit. I'm being a little bit rambly here, and I hope I don't say anything that I regret, but, like, I have gotten used to the fact that, oh, yeah, Mike listens to the show, and also that idea of we were sneaking in the back door, that is how I felt. We came right to American Public Media in 2015, right? And Steve Nelson... El Ropo, Steve Nelson, hired us, and he got it, right? He and some other people who appreciated TBTL said, you know, this is a show that's a little bit outside of what we normally do, but we think
I believe William. Oh, my God.
What are we doing?
What's sorry.
Happening? I think I had a little something to contribute.
I don't know. God bless America. That's – I was trying to play El Ropo, but – YouTube was playing whatever the 97th video after Afro Man because I got high was.
Yeah, you got to turn off autoplay for some. I always have autoplay off on YouTube. Yet lately it's just like clicking back on.
My
and
fault.
You come back. And anyway, let me try
I
to get
apologize.
Back
Keep
to
going.
Where I was. I'm Luckily, sorry. My brain operates very sharply, so I'm sure it'll be no problem for me to get back in. But
I apologize.
No. I feel like, you know, when we first became part of APM, a few influential folks like Steve Nelson and some other people understood TBTL and got us in. And you and I really did feel like, oh my God, really? Like, we don't seem like a public radio podcast. This is weird, but we were so happy. But I think we also felt like we kind of got away with something. Like, holy shit, really? This is amazing. And certainly I did. Like, you know, this has been a dream come true, this job. But for the past 3 years, since that did happen, since we became an official public radio podcast, I think I have, and it's a double-edged sword, I think I have felt very much on the fringes. Like, we're not there in St. Paul where the rest of the gang is, the rest of the APM gang. So just by physically, we sort of feel peripheral. And then from what we do and how different it is, and, like, not every show is something that gets produced, you know, we don't have engineers who are mixing our audio and making sure that and editing our conversations and making sure that the show is in any way listenable, obviously. We do something a little bit different that is consistent and raw, and we like it, and I just, you know, am so glad that other people at APM like it. But, like, I think I this year am changing my attitude of not being like, wow, I'm if they find out that we're doing a podcast on APM, somebody important is going to find out and we're going to get fired. And now I'm just kind of leaning in. I think they're leaning into us more and I'm leaning into them more. And like I was telling you, like I feel more like an employee of American Public Media today than ever. I think I used to feel like an employee of TBTL and we were kind of partners with APM, if that makes sense. And I'm kind of trying to shed that idea of like, oh no, apparently Mike listened to the show. We're going to get fired if they hear what we're doing. Right. It's like, oh, no, I think they actually, they get it. They like it. And they certainly, as we were saying during the fund drive, they certainly appreciate the community that has built up around this show to whatever degree we can take credit for that as well. And that's why our listeners are so special. But I'm to whatever degree I am associating with what you're saying, like not being ashamed of what we do and having just a little bit of, if not pride, less shame. And, you know, if not confidence, maybe less insecurity a little bit. And, you know, I'm sure I'm jinxing us to death, but it feels good.
Well, the reason that that's scary, the reason owning it in any way, which is funny to hear from us, a couple of white guys, because if anything, white straight males have suffered from overly owning their success historically, not owning it enough. But to me, the scary part of like ever saying, hey, we actually do this, or like, hey, I'm a radio host, or I mean, I say the weirdest things if people ask me what my job is. It starts with I work in radio, trying to be as general as possible. Mm-hmm. And then I work on a radio show or whatever, always trying to distance myself from being like, I'm the host of this. I'm the host of a show because the reason owning something feels scary to me is because if I say to someone like, yeah, I host a radio show and actually it's pretty good. Like I caught Livewire, I don't know, a month or two ago in the car and I was listening and I was like, this is a good radio show. Like not because of me. I mean, somewhat because of me, but also just because we had cool guests on. We had Heidi Julewicz, a writer from one of the founders of The Believer magazine. And we had Diana Nyad, who swam from Florida to Cuba and got stung by jellyfish. And we just had like interesting people on the show.
I was listening
and I was like, she was covered in a salve afterwards because she almost died from the jellyfish.
That's what
jellyfish
the savvy traveler means. Wow, I never knew.
Yes. Oh, also Rudy Maxa was there. Nice. So I listened to that episode of Livewire just because I was in the car and it was on, it was noon. And I listened and I was like, this is a good radio show. Like I would listen to this radio show if I was not the host of it. And yet for me to say that to someone, or even to say something like, yeah, I do this show Livewire, or I do this podcast TBTL, you should check it out. For me to do that, for me to own this in any way is so terrifying. Because what if I said to someone, oh, I host this show and I'm pretty good at it, and then they listen and they're like, he's not pretty good at it. That is so crushing to me, that idea, that I will bend myself backwards and tie myself into knots so as to never seem like I'm saying anything that I do is legit, because for someone to judge it as not legit would kill me.
Yeah. Well, definitely don't say, you know, if somebody says, what do you do for a living? You don't have to say, I host a radio show, and you know what? It's pretty damn good, and I'm a part of that. Like, you don't have to lead in that much, because maybe that is weird. It's like, what do you do? I work at a grocery store, and I bag the groceries, and you know what? I'm pretty damn good at it.
And you know what Andrew is?
Part of it.
Hey, by the way, I am getting – God, you know what? This is a huge, huge left turn. I was at the grocery store yesterday buying a lot of stuff for the little football party we had over here, and I needed some more. I've run out of paper bags. We use paper grocery bags for recycling. So usually I have my tote bags at the grocery store, but I actually needed to buy some paper bags. This is way too much information. Anyway, it was crowded. I don't like, you know, holding up a line. The cashier did not have somebody bagging groceries at the end, which to me, I'm glad of, because I would rather bag my own groceries because I'm better at it. No offense to the people who bag groceries at Safeway, but I just am. I'm way better at it. But I started bagging my own groceries, and the guy was like, oh, you don't mind doing that yourself? I'm like, no, I can do it. As a matter of fact, I like doing it. I prefer it. He's like, yeah, you're really good at that. Luke, that's it. I could have died happy right there. I love it when a grocery professional says, I am good at bagging groceries. I don't know why. It's not the first time it's happened in my life. And I practically skip out of the grocery store when somebody pays me that compliment.
Wait. Stop the show. Wait, this is not the first time that you have been complimented on your grocery bagging. And let me point out, that's not a thing you've ever done professionally.
Exactly.
This is just times where you, as a customer, you've been bagging your own groceries and you've been complimented on it.
Dude, self-trained. Totally self-trained.
Wow.
And yeah, I mean, it's just now I am kind of bragging, I guess, which I know is untoward. But I feel like I've been given a gift. And if I deny that gift, that's not healthy either. But yeah, I was also complimented.
Don't hide your sugar on the shelf.
Right. I was complimented, I'm going to say, about a year and a half ago or something at the at my old grocery store, QFC. Still love you, QFC. Wait, it's not.
I don't know if the kiss sound effect was necessary, but okay.
I paused.
Was that like Italian? Was that like Italian chef got the spaghetti sauce?
No. That was two fingers to my lip. Kiss it and hold it up, like not moi, but you know, still love you, QFC. You're still out there. I realize that I've just moved on. I'm in a different place in my life. But
you might want to get consent from QFC before you.
Yeah, I probably should.
Start giving air finger kisses.
Anyway, yeah, I love bagging groceries, and I know that we started by talking about our insecurities and telling people that we're good at our shows or our role at 8 p.m. and some heavy shit. But also, I just want you to know, man, I'm killing it in the bagging game.
I was thinking about, like, we need to move on and just basically do the music for your weekend and then release these listeners from their torpor. But I was speaking of the mental illness happy hour, that show that I listen to a lot. The host, Paul Gilmartin, was talking about he'd come back from Europe where he was doing some live shows, and how he was sitting in the aisle on the plane, and he was sitting on the window, which he likes, and a guy came up to him and said, hey, would you mind switching places with me? And he assumed it was because the guy was trying to switch so he could be sitting next to his wife or somebody he was with. And he said, oh, are you trying to sit near your wife? And the guy said, no, I just like the window. And basically, he just wanted the window seat that Paul had. And Paul was talking, I'm paraphrasing again, but Paul said something like, this is where all of his years of therapy and group therapy and things have actually came in handy, because he was so nervous to give the guy the answer he wanted to give him, which is, no, I like the window.
Yeah.
Like, that's this person totally who he would fine. Never yeah. see again. But I think a lot of us do this, or at least are tempted. Like, I would have been tempted to just be like, oh, sure, some person that I'm never going to see again, because in that moment, I just don't want to give them the wrong answer. I want them to like me, and I want them to have good feelings about me, even though it's probably a 12-hour flight or some craziness. And, like, you know, it's an international flight. It's like the worst possible flight to, like, go sit in the middle seat on. And he – Paul did actually kind of hold his ground. He said, no, actually, I really want to be on the window. And that was fine. There was no confrontation. It was totally normal. But I was thinking about that, and I was thinking – I was like, there is an outcome – where there's a likely outcome where I give this guy, if I'm in Paul's position, and I was just thinking of, this is why these walks are meditative for me. Maybe that's why the show's been getting so weird and, like, overly deep recently, because I'm coming in hot off of, like, an hour or 2 hours of just ruminating in my thoughts. Probably not good content.
I was going to say, ironically, you and I are talking about being proud of our show, and I'm enjoying talking with you. I don't know that I would submit this show for a potty award. Ooh, do they call them potties? I hope they don't call them potties.
They do now. Anyway, I was just thinking, and then we could stop, because now I can't stop thinking about the potty awards.
I know.
Did you win in year one or the second year? I won a number two potty award.
I saw that. Coming.
Yeah, I know. I tried to buttonhook you, but I couldn't. I was thinking about myself being in Paul's position, sitting on the plane and someone asking me for my seat just because they wanted to have it. And I thought, there are two likely outcomes for me, either giving the seat up because I just want them to like me, or physically fighting them. Those are the two most likely scenarios for me. There's no in-between.
Right.
The in-between is me just looking them in the eye and going, oh, actually, you know what? I really like the window, but have a good flight. That is the least likely outcome. I would either just give the seat up because I'd be that desperate for their approval, or I would try to beat the shit out of them.
Who are you? Who do you think you are asking for me?
Yeah. You're asking me. You think you're better than me. You get this seat. I will end you. Like, I thought, those are both not the best reaction, giving the seat up because I because I need their approval or trying to destroy them. Like, how about a middle road, Burbank? And I don't know why that struck me and why I was thinking about that, but I was like, that's just for my whole life something I need to think about, is this, like, there is a middle way for most of this stuff, and I just don't choose to use it at all. It's weird. I have basically fight or flight. Those are the two things I've got in me. And I want to try to figure out stay and just stay and see what happens. That might be a good thing for me to pursue.
Not to totally miss the point of what you're saying, because I do get that, but to go a little bit more literal on that question, it's funny. I think a lot of those feelings you and I have are kind of similar. Not that I'm a fight kind of guy, but certainly, like, we'll immediately feel, you know, oppressed is a very strong word to use that I do not like to use when talking about myself and my lot in life, obviously. But I will feel put upon. That's a better word. I will feel put mm-hmm. upon, or like I need to stand up for myself more or be more clear about what I need. But in that particular case, if somebody just said, hey, because I'm an aisle guy, right? So if somebody came up to me and said, hey, do you mind if I could sit on the aisle? I was like, oh, do you need to sit by somebody? No, I just prefer it. I'd be like, I would have no – to me, that's not a sticking point. Like, that's kind of unrelatable to me. Like, I think that I would have no problem saying, oh, no, sorry, I got long legs. I need this. Or if it's the window, like, oh, no, I'm way more comfortable here. Sorry. You know, like, that to me doesn't seem – I don't think it's bad of the person to ask. I don't – see, this is where I would not be able to be the person to ask for that. Like, that person who said, hey, can I have your seat? Like, that is something that that would take a lot of therapy for me to get to a place where I can ask for things. Like, asking for things is very difficult for me.
I have noticed that I think you have good boundaries about things sometimes. Like, I could hear you saying that and not being, what was the thing where you started just saying, oh, thanks, when someone was asking you for something, but you've turned it around like you can't.
Like, right.
No, thanks. You don't have to do me that. Favor,
like when they
whatever
went,
that thing was.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I still do that. Like if you're at a store and they're like, I need your what's your email address? You know, at Radio Shack or your GNC. I'll be like, oh no, thank you, I don't need that. Like, and usually that works.
Right.
I also do
That's pretty clever.
Not that I don't like giving to charity, but you know, Whole Foods is always, you know, saying, do you want to round up your dollar for whatever charity? And not that I'm against charities, but I like to – I mean, listen, it's a handful of change. Sometimes I say yes, sometimes I don't. But I kind of like to know a little bit more about what I'm giving to, you know, in the same way you were talking. I don't think Whole Foods is running any kind of scams. But who knows what these organizations are, or, you know, how they rank on charity ranker or whatever. And so sometimes I just say – they're like, would you like to round up your dollar and give it to whatever charity that you've never heard of? Sometimes I'll just say, oh, no, thank you, but thanks for asking. And I realize I'm not even saying it to be cocky. Like, it just comes out of my mouth like a tick. Like, it's just a ready answer.
See, it's funny. And this really – like, that kind of stuff doesn't bother you. I said, like – oh, no, thanks, I won't give a dollar to Easter Seals 2 years ago, and I haven't stopped thinking about it. Like, it haunts me.
Well, think about all the kids, like, you could have helped.
Well, that's the thing. Anyway, sorry to everybody if that was just a major digression off of talking about invertebrates in the news. These stories are legitimately interesting, and I am legitimately excited to talk about them together on Monday, because there's kind of – the problem is the lobster one is going to lead me down the road of my latest kind of experimentation with less meat eating, which could get ponderous. I'll try not to let it get ponderous. But then also octopuses, which I eat, which I know I think Genevieve doesn't eat because they're smart. I might be joining Team Genevieve.
Is Genevieve – I didn't even know that. You guys – where are you guys having these conversations?
I know she arrived there with pigs.
Yes, and you would think – because, yeah, I guess we don't eat that much calamari. Wait, is – that's calamari squid or octopus?
I think calamari is squid, but this sounds weird, but I like eating octopus. They have octopus on the menu at Tasty and Alder in Portland, and it is so good. But I think my days of eating pulpo or eating octopus, I think they're over after reading this article about octopuses on Molly.
Hmm.
So how's that for a promotion to last until Monday, because that's what we're going to do.
Everybody, I just eat all the octopi in your freezer right now, because after Monday's show, you're just going to be throwing it away.
Or don't listen to Monday's show, because I think you're going to have a hard time with it.
All right, I know you know about TBTL, the podcast. You're listening to it right now. But have you tried TBTL, the newsletter? Because you can. Just go over to TBTL.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. I got to say, it's a lot of fun. Every week, Luke and I record a little video that we include in the newsletter. It's called Hey Dummies. We answer your questions, any questions you want to ask us. Well, there's all kinds of things in the newsletter. Don't take my word for it. Here, this is Mary. She's a big fan of the newsletter.
It has a nice welcome introduction, but then you have these phenomenal GIFs that are so much fun. You talk about amazing, wonderful people, and you introduce us to new things. And then the songs of the week. Oh, my gosh. And it just makes me so happy.
It can make you happy, too. I mean, listen, this is coming from Mary. She doesn't even listen to the podcast. She's here just for the newsletter. No joke. So, again, go to TBTL.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. And we'll try to bring a little extra sunshine to your inbox every Friday afternoon.
Well, let's see here. Shall we just talk some music for your weekend? I, of course, oh my God, Andrew, I've failed at every single component of this. I didn't pick my song, and I didn't pick a listener song yet. It's been so long since I've done this.
Well, I'll play mine first to give you a little bit of time, if that helps. And we will, by the way, to the person or people who wrote in and said, I wish I had the quote here in front of me. In fact, maybe I do. Somebody said, all I want on Monday's show is 100% Browns talk with Browns drops and Browns whatever. I think we're purposely kind of avoiding that today because we'll get into it with no point conversion. Yesterday, you know, the Browns won their first game in what was it, like 635 days or something is the math on that.
Was that it?
Something like that. The last time the Browns won a game was Christmas Eve of 2016. We will talk more about yesterday's win.
God.
Yes. In no point conversion on Monday after the Seahawks play this weekend too. Because I didn't want to get into too much Browns talk today, but it was one hell of a night here last night. We had a great time. And for my music for your weekend, I wanted to think, what was burning up the charts back in 2016, in December of 2016, the last time the Browns won a game. And I'm stalling here because I had it and now I'm clicking around for it. But the album that came out around that time was Childish Gambino, Awaken My Love. Ooh. And here's what I'm trying to figure out. I know that I have played the song Redbone, which was the big kind of song off that album, on the show quite a bit. It is by far my favorite song on this record. I love that song to death. I want to play it now, but I feel like we've all heard it. So I am going to go with the track after that. This is off of Awaken My Love, the 2016 album by Childish Gambino. Came out a mere 3 weeks before the Browns would win their last game in 635 days. This song is called California. Got some swears in it, but they're not that bad.
She wants to move to California. She must have fucking lost her mind.
California by Donald Glover as Childish Gambino.
Oh, man, that's so good.
I was wondering if you would like it. I mean, he's obviously he's kind of affecting his voice and his delivery there. I wasn't sure if you were going to dig it or not.
No, I dig it. Honestly, I'm tempted to recommend the song September by Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Oh!
Because today's the 21st night of September as
yes,
we record this.
I do love that.
There's a comedian, sort of part of what you call weird Twitter. His name is, first name, I believe, is Demi. I do not know how to say his last name. It appears to be African. And I would just be, I'm sure I would mess it up. But he just does, the funniest, weirdest things on Twitter constantly. I think he's a writer on a number of shows. But he loves to just kind of do these, like, he just loves to do these, like, little, I don't know what you'd call them, performance art pieces. And I guess what happened was 3 years ago. This is, by the way, in lieu of me actually suggesting a song, because for me suggesting Earth, Wind, and Fire September is pointless. Everyone knows that song. You can just go listen to it if you want to. But this guy Demi, what I didn't realize was about 3 years ago, he just made like a weird kind of edit of the song where it just keeps saying, "Do you remember the 21st night of September?" And it's just him dancing around in a t-shirt, and that's the whole song. And so then the next year, he had a like slightly more elaborate production where he was dancing to. And this year, he did this whole huge thing, which I don't want to spoil it for people, but it just keeps getting more elaborate every year. And it's so weird. It's like, it's, I just can't explain it other than to say it's hilarious to me and I would highly recommend it. Is that one of the worst pitches you've ever heard? I can't say the guy's last name, but I don't know. Google it. 21st of September, Demi, and see what you get.
I think you should be in an online publication telling people
how to recommend music.
Yes. You sent me a link to that last night, I think, but yeah. It was like during the game or right after the game, we're all kind of like blitzed out. So I wasn't exactly sure why you'd sent something that was a guy dancing to that song. Sounds like I didn't watch it long enough. I needed to stick with that
video. Well, I CC'd Kevin, Camaro Kev, because he loves Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Oh.
And he loves that song. His last name, Demi's last name is Adejuyigbe. I'm a little embarrassed because I've been following this guy on Twitter for a long time, or at least seeing his stuff on Twitter, and I can never figure out phonetically how to say his last name. So maybe that's why I've been low keying it. But if you go to if you Google that guy's name, Demi, Demi. And the last name, Adejuyigbe, September 21st. You'll get what I'm talking about. It's not really audio. Like, it's not – playing it isn't going to do you any good. You've got to see him dancing and his little production that he's doing to it. So there you go. I was able to hack into the mainframe and actually check my TBTL email from in here, Andrew, which is no small feat. It means that I once again have access to my TBTL email on the main computer I use doing the show. So,
oh, yeah, you might want to empty your box. I got some emails from some people saying they're getting bounce backs from you.
Okay. Well, maybe I won't. Maybe I'll shut it down and never look at it again.
Whatever.
I don't have that. I don't have that many messages.
Maybe something
some
else is wrong.
Just finding out. Listener Alex said, this is some music for your weekend. Suggestion from listener Alex. You mentioned Thundercat in Monday's episode in reference to Mac Miller's Tiny Desk concert. You know, we had Thundercat on Livewire, and he was cool. I mean, he's really from outer space, man. He's just like a bass player who's like one with the music and kind of like, I think I said the last time, he feels like he just climbed down off of George Clinton's mothership. But I was impressed by his musicality, and I had no idea that he was like actually the guy to go to, like Mac Miller and many other hip-hop artists whose music I like. Thundercat's all over those albums. Thundercat has a lot of his own cool music. Alex said, I wanted to share one of my favorite songs of his. It was also featured in the first season of Insecure, which I think is the Issa Rae show that I've been meaning to watch. The song is called Heartbreaks Plus Setbacks. It's Thundercat. Now, I have not listened to this song, but I'm going to assume if it's Thundercat, if it's listener Alex, if it was used in Insecure, that it's probably pretty good. And so I'm going to go ahead and just declare it to be the listener selection for music for your weekend.
Do you want me to play it from my end?
Yes. Okay. Would you?
Yeah.
Could you? Because what I'll probably end up doing is playing a YouTube video that happens 36 videos after whatever that song was I was playing earlier today that didn't work out. All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening this week. Next week is going to be good. We're going to have all of those new wait, don't tell me listeners, people that heard the podcast with me and Faith Saley. And so just know like next week is going to be like when you have company over for dinner and your parents are acting not normal. Like they're acting like way more proper and there's like the food is better. And you're looking at them and you're like, this isn't how you really are. That's going to be me and Andrew next week because we'll have a bunch of new listeners. So play along, okay?
Yeah.
And look forward to that. I think you'll enjoy some quality programming from us for once. And I'm very excited about the No Point on Monday. Thank you, Andrew, for stifling your Cleveland Browns dumb, which I know flows like the ocean right now in you. We'll for those of you who are just want to revel in Cleveland winning their first game, we will talk all about that on Monday in depth, I'm sure, during the No Point Conversion. So
should we? I'm still a little bummed about like my dumb spoof of the being the show and the acres of silence that followed it. Should we just redo that part right now and just we can punch it in the beginning?
Oh, sure. Well, let's do a couple things. One, I want to say Mazel Tov to listeners Ivan and Rachel, who I believe are eloping even as we speak. Ivan emailed us and said, I think he said Rachel, he met Rachel through the podcast, or
she got
maybe she even she turned got him onto the podcast.
Yes, which really surprises me. I know Rachel. Rachel and I used to work together at KUOW, and I thought that she just coincidentally met Ivan, and Ivan was a fan, and she reluctantly listened to my babbling, but apparently she was a listener, and she talked him into giving it a shot, and eventually we somehow won him over. But yeah, they're just on vacation together and decided to turn it into a marriage. Like they're just going for it. I love that style.
That is so great, Ivan and Rachel. Congratulations! Sounds like they're doing it in Boston. Boston, known for Tuner Bros and also Red Sox banners.
We had no idea what it was. First thing I said, this belongs to the Red Sox.
I assume that this wedding will also belong to the Red Sox. So congrats to them. And then, yeah, do you want to just do – here's what we can do, a pickup where you make a different joke and I respond really quickly. And then if any of the listeners at home want to re-audio – they want to edit this into the beginning of the show and have a better listener experience, we'll have that. So let's see. I'll just do this one.
I'll come up with a better one here. So you had just mentioned that the Browns won, I believe.
Yeah, I said, you know, I had gotten this audio drop all prepared because I wasn't sure how his football game was going to go last night.
Please don't be mean to Cleveland.
But I can actually use this one instead.
Cleveland! This is for you!
Because he is very happy about how all that turned out. And he joins us now from the Roosevelt neighborhood of Seattle, Washington. He is Andrew Walsh. Hello, my dude.
Dude, I was taping the game. Son of a bitch, I did it again.
I cannot believe he just told that joke.
Something's broken in me, I guess. We should probably just get out of here.
Yeah, let's wrap it up. Good try. You know, I appreciate you.
Thank you for setting me up. I mean, that one's on me, man. I got to say, the first one was on you, but that second one definitely on me.
All right, have a good weekend, everybody. Thank you for listening. Thanks for being a part of TBTL. We could not be here without you. Oh, I forgot invertebrates in the news and the donors of the day. So even more to look forward to on Monday. We will see you all very soon. Go Mariners. Go eat a bagel. Go Browns.
Go Seahawks.
Go Seahawks. Those guys, yeah, them too. And enjoy listener Alex's suggestion for some music for your weekend. This is Thundercat. We'll see you on Monday. Until then, please remember, no mountain too tall.
And good luck to all.
power out.